Hi, everyone, and welcome to our Aztecs Hoopla podcast, the latest edition. I'm the sports editor of the Union Tribune, Jay Posner. I'm joined, as always, by our Aztecs basketball beat writer, Mark Ziegler. And Mark, we have an unusual podcast today, because not that we've been doing this a long time, but we do have to talk about a loss for the first time in almost a year, if we'd been doing the podcast that long. But the last loss was the Mountain West Tournament final last March, right, against Utah State, which kept them out of the tournament. This loss will, of course, do no such thing. It ends their bid at some history. They were trying to be the first unbeaten team in Mountain West history, obviously the first unbeaten team in school history. But it all came crashing down on Saturday night against UNLV, a 15-point underdog, although that seemed to be a little high based on how they had played the first game. But it was here. And how surprised were you by what you watched on Saturday?
Well, you know, it's funny because we kept talking about, okay, which is the game that's going to be the one that ends the streak, if indeed it does end. And, you know, this would probably be last on the list of all the games remaining because it was the lowest rated team. It's a team that, you know, it's, some people consider a rivalry. I think there's a little bit of a rivalry there with UNLV through the years. But it's been really one-sided in the last few years. And San Diego State had won 16 of 17 in the last four at BS Arena. They won by an average of 26 points. Like you said, a 15-point underdog. So I think from just the fact that they lost, I don't think people can be surprised. It's college basketball. It's a year of unprecedented parity. For a team to go this far through the season, I don't care what conference you're in, particularly in a conference where no one has ever gone undefeated, you know, was an incredible accomplishment. But you had to also expect that sooner or later the numbers are just going to catch up to them. But that said, I don't think a lot of people thought it would be this game.
And it seemed like a little bit of a strange game, just in the sense the Aztecs did some things that they haven't been doing. I mean, they allowed a lot of successful three-pointers, at least in the first half. They didn't shoot well pretty much for most of the game. Was there anything that you could put your finger on for why, you know, we might have seen that? Or was it just simply, hey, they were 26-0, and, you know, like you said, the odds of going undefeated for an entire season, you know, it just didn't seem likely for anybody to pull that off?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, you have to look at there's two sides of it. There's the strategic, tactical side of it was you know, doing something that the San Diego State hadn't seen and that bothered them. And yeah, in that sense, yes, they, you know, other teams had tried this, but they weren't doubling the post with Yanni Wetzel. They had a smaller lineup in there. They'd done this for the last couple weeks with basically four guards and a kind of a small forward who shoots threes. And they just went up and down and shot threes and, you know, just figured, well, we're 14-14, but what does it matter now? We might as well give it a shot. And we get hot and we get some confidence, we can get going. And so they, you know, they hadn't seen that before. And then when they tried to put Matt Mitchell in the post against a smaller guy, they did double team that. So that was a little bit of a wrinkle there. They stayed connected to the shooters and just kind of tried to stay in front of them and said, you know, we'll give you shots, but they're going to be contested. So there was some tactical stuff, I think, that bothered them. But I also think there were just a lot of external things where, you know, it's easy in hindsight to say, oh, yeah, you can look back and say, we could see this coming. I mean, at the time, you never see it coming. But, you know, they had a very bad practice Friday. They had to share the Jam Center just because of a scheduling quirk and a Miranda Lambert country concert in VS Arena with the women's team. You know, normally the women's team is on the away game when you're at home and vice versa. They're opposite you. And in almost every instance, they're gone by noon, 10 in the morning in a lot of cases because of the time change and getting flights. But because it's Vegas, there's a ton of flights. They were still in town at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's very rare for that to happen. But they were there on a Friday, and they were practicing, and they had right to half the court. And they put the screen down, and it was a horrible, horrible environment. Couldn't hear anything. And, you know, what is usually a very focused environment and very much closed in. It's just the team and a couple other people became something different. And I think that affected them a little bit. People talked about the banner. I don't think that raising the banner was that big of a deal. But there were just a lot of things, the 26-0, maybe get a little complacent after that win against Boise State, having a week off or most of a week off. I think all those things just kind of contributed to the tactical stuff as well.
And you mentioned the banner that Aztec took. They took the unusual step for those who weren't paying attention, for putting up the championship banner, which normally gets done the next season, usually the first game of the next season. The school chose to do it on Saturday because they could, basically. I mean, it was wrapped up, and you know, they decided that the seniors would be able to enjoy it if they did it now. So they, it, kind of an unusual thing that they did. I don't necessarily buy into the idea that like made Vegas more fired up. I know you said, we talked, and I know you said on another, on a radio show that, you know, look, if Vegas couldn't get fired up coming in to play the number four team in the country, they've got big problems. I'm not a big believer in bulletin board type stuff, but I do wonder if it did sort of distract, you know, the Aztecs a little bit. And you had a thought when we talked yesterday on if they did want to do it this season, they should have done it Tuesday night on senior night. Why do you think that would have been better?
Well, I think what happens on senior night is you do your your warm-ups, and then the visiting team goes back into the locker room, and then you have your senior night ceremony, and then they come back out. So they're not sitting out there for 6 or 8 minutes watching all your seniors get plaques and just sitting around and the lights are out and all that thing. So they're not there. So why couldn't you just do the banner then? And I asked that question today to a couple people at San Diego State, and the answer I got was, you know, we did consider that, but we've gotten some pushback from TV in the last few years that our senior nights go too long, and you know, the TV doesn't want to have a later tip.
Neither do we, for that matter.
Yeah, exactly. 8 o'clock is late enough. But, you know, the banner ceremony lasted literally like 30 seconds.
It was really
short.
I was going to say, it doesn't seem like, you know, so you start the ceremony 1 minute earlier. It doesn't seem like it would take
right.
It would take that much time.
Well, there was one other concern, too, is that they go a little bit too long. And then the referees or the other coach says, hey, we're too cold. We need to warm up again. Then you got to add 10 more minutes. But I think, you know, maybe they could have just said, let's cut the speeches a little bit shorter and done it. And in hindsight, that might have been a better idea. You know, one thing I've been a little critical of is you know, look, you have a 26-0 season. You have this is a once-in-a-lifetime type season, you think. And you want to capitalize it and celebrate it as much as possible. But I just think sometimes in the marketing standpoint, they've gone a little bit too far this year. That, you know, they know the players don't like playing in red uniforms. They're super suspicious, and they had them wear them against San Jose State. They almost lost. They had them wear them again against Nevada. They almost, you know, they played poorly. They didn't almost lose, but they played poorly in that game for a half. They brought Kawhi in a huge game against Utah State, and he made a grand entrance. And Utah State promptly went on a 14-0 run, and Malachi Flynn's jacking up threes, and now they have this banner ceremony. You know, you never know. Maybe they were tempting fate there. But, you know, at a certain point, I think you just got to have your team focus and play and try to reduce those external things. I don't think it is the reason they lost, but it's just one more thing to allow people to gripe about afterwards if you do lose.
Right. So let's talk for a minute about what this loss means. Obviously, it means nothing in terms of the conference. They've already clinched it. They've clinched the number one seed, all that sort of thing. Nationally, from a seeding perspective, it seems like, you know, obviously with Gonzaga losing on Saturday night, this might have, you know, if they would have won, it would have kept put them in the pole position for getting the number one seed in the West, which is, you know, their preferred destination. But in terms of getting a number one seed, as you wrote today, if the season ended today, they would still be a number one seed. Of course, the season doesn't end today, doesn't end for another 2 or 3 weeks. And there's a lot of games still to be played. But as things stand now, you think they're still on track? Especially if they win out, they'll be a number one seed somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the only people who know are the 10 people in the room with the selection committee, and they can do whatever they want, basically. But if we go by what they told us 2 weeks ago when they unveiled their top 16 projected teams and they put them in seed lines, and San Diego State was in the seed line, they said, look, it was very, very close between Gonzaga and San Diego State for the top team in the West and who would have the right to go to the Western Regional at Staples Center in Los Angeles. But when you went from the fourth team, which was San Diego State, down to the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth, there was a big gap. It was clearly a line of demarcation. They were clearly a top four teams. And they went out of their way to say that many times. And what that leads me to believe is that these four teams are so far ahead of the others that it was more than just one loss. If it's close, then they say, well, it's close. Then, you know, if you lose a game, now you can drop down. I think all four of those teams could absorb a loss. Now, the question is, you know, Baylor took a loss, but they lost to what was then the number three team in the country in Kansas. And Gonzaga took a loss, but it was on the road in altitude at, you know, number 22 BYU, or number, I think now number 18 BYU.
And then they're actually even high in the net metric. I think they're up to 14, so even even higher.
So it's a, you know, it's not a game that they, you know, maybe even statistically they weren't even favored in. Now, San Diego State lost at home to a team in the 120s in the net. So it's a little bit different. But mm-hmm. I think because those teams behind them have all been beaten up on each other or losing, Duke lost to an unranked team. Louisville lost to an unranked team. Florida State and Louisville play tonight, as a matter of fact, and one of them will lose. Those teams, you know, haven't been able to make that jump to get on the one seed line. The one team that's getting closer is Dayton, and Dayton has a very, very similar resume to San Diego State. Mid-major conference, did some good work early, but Dayton has two losses and San Diego State has one. And if you look at it just from strictly that standpoint, I think San Diego State is still ahead of them, but maybe they're not. They're not in the polls right now, but I don't think the polls really matter, as you pointed out. It's just the 10 guys in the room, and this is what they said before. So going by what they said, I still think they're a number one seed as we stand right now. But the big question is, you know, are they going to still be a one-loss team when we get to Selection Sunday?
Right. I mean, we've got so we'll start to look forward now. We've got two more regular season games left this week. The season's ending earlier than I can ever remember on the last day of February. But Colorado State is here on Tuesday night for the senior night, and then the Aztecs go up to Reno and play Nevada on Saturday evening. A game will be on ESPN2 at 5 o'clock, or as I tweeted today, whenever Northern Iowa and Drake finish playing what will inevitably be a 4-overtime game, just to keep people from watching the Aztecs like what happened the other night. So, and seems to happen quite a bit, actually, in college basketball. And then the Aztecs go to Vegas next week for the Mountain West Tournament. The ideal scenario for them, obviously, is to play three games in 3 days. And I noticed they moved the final up another half hour. I think it's at 2:30 now on that Saturday, which makes the turnaround from Friday night even more ridiculous that they're asking these players to do. But it will hurt the Aztecs' opponent more if the Aztecs advance, since the Aztecs will play the early game on Friday. So that's five potential games that are left. Got plenty of time to talk about some of those, but let's talk about tomorrow night and Colorado State. The Aztecs opened the conference season at Colorado State. What do you remember about that game, and what can you tell us about Colorado State as they come in here on Tuesday night?
Well, that game was basically two games, a 33-minute game and a 7-minute game. And the 33-minute game was tied, and it was a very even game. And the 7-minute game, the Aztecs won by 20. and it was the first sign, and they're in altitude, and it was the first sign that, boy, this team is pretty locked in, and I had not seen an Aztec team do that, particularly in altitude and in Moby Arena, tough place to play, where they just completely annihilate a team down the stretch, because that's when the altitude really starts to take effect on your legs and your lungs, and they just start playing like we've seen them play all season, and that was another sort of confidence booster for them. They could do something like that in a short amount of time. It was very, very impressive. So that was the first game, and Colorado State had a tough early schedule in the conference and lost a bunch of games. They have a young team, except for Nico Cavaccio, who is maybe the best big man in the league, the best rebounding big man, certainly. And then they have a bunch of freshmen and then Nico Medved, a second-year coach. But he's really, really instituted his culture and a system. They have a unique way of guarding the post. They run probably more sets than set plays than maybe anybody in the league. And he's got them really rolling. And there was a stretch there in the middle of the conference where outside of San Diego State, they were the best team. And they've kind of petered out a little bit lately, as you'd expect with a lot of freshmen. Maybe their legs are getting a little bit heavy and the wear and tear in the season mentally is getting to them. But they got blown out at UNLV last weekend, and then their most recent game, last week, and then their most recent game over the weekend, they struggled at home and I believe San Jose State and won. But, you know, if you look at some of these metrics where you could break down the metric in a span of like 10 games or a month or whatever you want, however you want to split it, they were at one point like a top 40 team over a 10-game stretch. They were very, very good. And I don't think they're that good right now, but hey, if San Diego State lost to UNLV at home, I think all five of these games that you mentioned are in play, mm-hmm. Either on a neutral court, at certainly at Nevada and this game as well. So I think they're going to have to play pretty well to win all of them or any of them.
And it's a good test to see. I mean, we've seen mentally what this team is like throughout the season, and I think we even saw it Saturday. I mean, they were down 14 in the second half. They got back within 7. They were down 14 again, came back, and I think it was still, 11 with maybe 4 or 5 minutes to go. And, you know, they ended up with really one good shot to tie the game. I mean, Malachi Flynn had a three-pointer that missed. I mean, Mitchell's half-court thing wasn't really much of a chance. But, you know, they battled back, and they had a chance to tie the game. And we'll see. But I was going to say, this is kind of a mental test as well to see what happens after their first loss. I mean, this is the first time that this team will have played in a situation like this, and we've seen Colorado State play after losses, and they, looking at their schedule, it looks like they've bounced back pretty well. From when they have lost, they've come back, and they did win the other night. So, did you get any sense at practice on Monday, or even just in the press conference on Monday, of sort of where this team is mentally after the loss?
Well, it's really interesting because I they're saying the right things. Some guys are a little bit, got their chest puffed out more than others. KJ Fagans just came out and said, I still think we're the best team and we're a dominant team. And that was a one-off game. And we're going to show you how real a team we are. We're going to be the same dominant team that we've been all season. And you're going to see, we can't wait for Tuesday to get back on the horse and show you. Practice was okay. I mean, it wasn't their best practice of the year. It wasn't a terrible practice like, Friday was before UNLV. But I still sense a little bit of a hangover. I mean, that's just human nature. When you're in, we got to step back here and look at this. We're not in Lawrence, Kansas, or in a small a town in the middle of middle America. We're in one of the largest cities in the country, and we have one other professional team. We don't have an NBA team. We no longer have an NFL team. And as Brian Dutcher said on numerous occasions, this is our NBA team. And so it's not just a university community cheering for it. It's really become an entire city. My wife goes every single game now. There are watch parties at somebody's house with 20 people. Mm-hmm. And, and one of my friend's daughters makes cookies every single time, a whole tray of cookies with what the record's going to be. And they're really elaborately decorated. I mean, people getting into it and investing a lot of themselves and their sort of sports rooting capital in this team. And so when they lose, I think the players feel that. I mean, I think they know how big a deal this is now. I mean, just being in the arena the last few weeks and feeling the energy in there and the love they get and the passion, they know this is a big deal. And so there's going to be a natural hangover, and it's how quickly they can get through that. And I think if they have to guard against anything, it's trying too hard to come out and take their aggressions out on Colorado State. They need just to play well and play like they have. But if they try to be something that they're not, or like you said, they're in a situation they haven't been in all year coming off a loss, and if they act differently than they have, they could be in trouble. I mean, we look at the four of the other four of the five remaining winless teams this year, of the other four, two of them lost their next game, and they got blown out in it. And so now those are both away from home, and so they have the advantage of being at home. But it also means that, you can go in a little bit of a tailspin when you're that good and your aura of invincibility is pierced, so to speak. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens. This is not a pushover team they'll be playing. It'll be a team that will come in thinking it can win.
Right. I think you said winless, you meant unbeaten, but just so people know, yep. It was the last five unbeaten teams this year were Ohio State, Liberty, Duquesne, Auburn, and the Aztecs. And I believe it was Auburn went out and lost they lost their first game, and then they turned around and lost the second game. And the same thing happened with one. Was it Liberty or Duquesne?
Duquesne. They both lost by 22 in their next game.
So,
Even Ohio State won their next two, and then they lost four straight.
Right.
And I just added up those four other teams after they lost their first game. They were 37-24.
Right.
And the rest of the season. And so, I mean, it doesn't mean they're terrible, but it also means they're not these juggernauts that they were built up to be early in the season. And, the one thing, and we talked about this with San Diego State, is it was great looking at 26-0, but it probably should have been, I'm not sure what the number was, the 10-1 or whenever they played San Jose State. Mm-hmm. I mean, that should have been a loss. And Brian Dutcher said very clearly, we deserve to lose that game. And if it wasn't for a fall away 3-pointer from 28 feet over three defenders at the buzzer by Malachi Flynn, that was a loss. And so, it's easy to get caught up in the 26-0, but in reality, this is probably closer to a 24-2 team or a 25-2 team.
Right. Which obviously is nothing for anybody to be too upset about if that was the case. So, anyway, we will come back. We'll watch tomorrow night's game. I will actually be out there to check this out in person. I haven't been able to do that all season, but planning on getting out there tomorrow night to see this team and the senior night festivities. And then we will come back in the middle of the week, talk about that, and set up the final regular season game coming up on Saturday. So until then, everyone, have a enjoy tomorrow night's game, and we'll talk to you later in the week.